Mini episode 386 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by the Pullins Group, delivering public affairs, consulting, and marketing services for small businesses trying to grow. Follow them on the web at PullinsGroup.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the FDH Lounge. Your good pals Rick Morris and Kyle Ross, FDH Lounge dignitaries. We're breaking it down. It's the NFL season in review, 2013. First look ahead to 2014. We did this in the offseason last year, Kyle. We're starting with the AFC East here, and I know we have a lot of very profound things to say.
Yes, of course we do. Why are you looking at me? Was there some inside joke I've missed already?
I just wanted to see how you were going to react to that. I got my money's worth.
Of course we do. Yes. Of course we have many profound things to say. It's us. We're crying out loud.
It is.
It's us.
And we're going to be bringing it. We're going to be bringing it very hard. We're starting with the AFC East.
Yes, we are.
And this is a division where you've got at the top of it, like for the last three decades, it seems like, the New England Patriots. I would say probably, and this is going to sound strange, one of the worst 12-4 teams that we've ever seen. Like, they were not nearly as good as their record. To me, it's a testament to the weakness of the AFC. And I think it's a reason for everybody to hold on to their shin pads in 2014, because I think they're going to be better than they were when they were 12-4 last year.
I agree with you.
Okay.
About the Patriots overachieving last year. And yeah. We said that on a week-by-week basis.
Yes.
As we were going through the games, that really, Bill Belichick did one of his best coaching jobs, I think, last season.
Indeed.
Get that team to the AFC Championship game. I talked to some Patriots fans. I was in Vegas for that game, and I know a few personally who were just not surprised the way the season ended. They were not close to as good as Denver.
Right.
So they had so many injuries they had lost by the time that game had come around. So with just everyone getting healthy,
right,
they should be better. Now, they did have a very fortunate record in close games.
They did.
That we could touch on, which usually signals that you're going to win less the following year. Now, before we talk about everyone, I want to do this, and I want to do this for every division.
Okay.
How they finished relative to before the year, how we thought they were going to finish.
Sure.
So the AFC East, before the year, I said New England would be 11-5.
Mm-hmm.
They finished 12-4.
Okay.
So pretty close.
Yeah.
Miami, I said 8-8. They finished 8-8.
Yeah.
Buffalo, I said 6-10. They finished 6-10.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Jets were the one that myself, yourself, and I think a lot of people underestimated. There was a lot of negativity going on in the preseason. Geno Smith was thrust in there early. They overachieved. I said 5 wins before the year. They wound up winning 8.
Yeah.
But, and when we get the Jets individually, I'll bring this up more. They had the point differential of a team that should not have won 8 games.
That's true.
I mean, I can bring it up right here.
That's absolutely true.
It was closer to a team that should have won 4 or 5 games, quite
right.
frankly. So they're a team that'll probably regress.
Although that defense, and we'll get to it in more detail a little bit later, but they rebuilt that defense a lot quicker than we thought they would.
Yes, and for the record, their point differential, minus 97.
Amazing.
To give some perspective, the most similar point differential to that was Cleveland. Cleveland minus 98, and they were 4-12. Minnesota was minus 89.
Yeah.
They were 5-10-1. So the Jets were very lucky to get to 8 wins.
Very much so.
So basically, 3 of the 4 teams kind of who were what we thought they were going to be before the year, and then the Jets overachieved.
Right.
My question to you, and you referenced this at the beginning, last 10 years it's been New England and the three little dwarfs, Miami, Buffalo, and the Jets. The Jets kind of had their time where they were sort of challenging New England, but
it was a faux challenge.
Yeah, New England was always favored in those games. It was an upset when the Jets beat them in the playoffs. My question to you, and obviously there's a lot to happen, a draft, period of free agency, training camp, we're doing this, we're still, 7 months away from the start of the regular season almost?
Right.
Is there any reason to believe in 2014 that one of the other three teams is going to challenge New England for the division championship?
Absolutely not. And what I've gone ahead and done, I've already predicted the records. I've done a first run through of the records. And I think the looks are going to be deceiving, because I think on paper, it's certainly going to be closer. New England is going to look like they're closer to the pack. I've got them at 10-6, but I think they're going to be a better 10-6 than they were at 12-4, if that makes any sense to you. Because I think that they're going to look better in their wins. They have another very tough schedule coming up again this year. I think they're going to be an extremely formidable 10-6 team. Certainly better than they were last year. They're going to be looking to address some of the deficiencies that they had in there, maybe beefing up their receiving core a little bit more. They're hoping to get a full year out of Rob Gronkowski.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah. I think it was also, you mentioned Belichick. I think it was one of Brady's best jobs, because you look at the year that he had statistically, throwing to not exactly a who's who, more like a who's that. I may go Bobby the Brain Heenan on you. Again, I just think that they're going to be much better positioned this year. I have Buffalo at 8-8, so I think they're only going to be two games back by the time it's all said and done, but I think it's going to be a fairly quiet, pedestrian 8-8, maybe a little bit of a late rally to make it look a little bit closer than it is. Buffalo, to me, looks like the best of the rest, and if anybody is going to be nosing around for a wild card spot, I would say they might be most likely in year two. I think that they certainly came out better at quarterback than we thought coming into last year with the move that they made there with Manuel. But again, the Jets in Miami, I do not see being part of the picture.
I was, as you were so eloquently running through the division there, yes, I was trying to look. I'd read something, and this speaks to the Patriots' record. I'd read something a week or so ago. Teams that go 12-4, there's only been, there's X number of teams that have done that over the last decade, tend to not improve their record following year. So that kind of speaks to what you're saying. And I'm with you. New England may not match its record next year in the regular season, but I think they're going to be a better team because they're going to be healthier, and none of these other three teams are on their level.
Right.
Bottom line, it's going to be more of the same. Now, I'm a little pleasantly surprised. I, too, think Buffalo is the best of the remaining three teams.
Okay. For me, it's more by default. I don't know.
I don't know if it's necessarily by default. Now, obviously, the Jets, for some of the reasons we alluded to a few minutes ago, are going to regress. Miami has its fair share of issues.
We'll
so I can
them.
See where you're saying.
Yeah.
But Buffalo's got a pretty decent roster.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what they're going to do in the draft. If you talk to people close to the team, they seem to think that they'd be best off going with a tackle to protect Manuel,
yes,
who could not stay healthy. I think the top two may be off the board by the time they pick 9, so they may be looking at the guy from Michigan, Taylor Lewin. But if they can get a good year out of Manuel, I think I'm with you. This team can go 8-8 and be possibly, in what will still be a weak AFC, a surprise playoff contender.
Yeah.
We saw last year, 8-8 will get you in the discussion.
Yeah.
So this team doesn't really have a ton of weaknesses. Their pass rush was good.
Right.
They have some good talent, I think. Young talent receiver.
Got a good defensive mind coming in to lead them as a coordinator. Jim Schwartz, somebody that I know you respect very much.
Oh, we'll talk about Jim Schwartz later. We'll talk about Jim Schwartz a lot later on when we get to the NFC North. And then C.J. Spiller is very good. So
yes.
I'm with you. Buffalo second.
Yeah.
Team we have not mentioned very often.
Yeah.
Or very much at all, really, so far. Miami.
I got them dead last. I'm going to say this, and it is, again, it is my vast misfortune. My two favorite teams, of course, the Browns 1, the Dolphins 1A. The two most dysfunctional franchises in the league right now, bar none. More so even than Dallas or Washington, where the owners are fruitcakes, but they have an iron grip on what's happening. In Cleveland and Miami, it's chaos because you have weak ownership, wishy-washy kind of matters going around here. This whole thing, the aftermath of the whole Incognito scandal, this new hiring of a GM from Tampa, as I understand it, that guy's pretty good. But this deal of where Don Aponte in the front office has this alliance going with Joe Philbin to try to protect themselves. Everybody's playing human chess with one another, as the old Larry Z phrase would go. And, again, it's just such dysfunction. They just whacked their trainer who won the Trainer of the Year award in the NFL because he allegedly didn't do enough to stop the bullying. Miami is a dumpster fire. 5-11 coming off of the 8-8 is what I'm telling you.
Wow. See, I think the potential's there to be very bad because of the Incognito situation.
Yeah.
Now, no matter what side you come out on the Incognito, on Richie Incognito, first of all, if you're on his side, you're wrong. But
exactly.
No matter what side you come out on, that really has hurt this football team.
Yes.
Because they're losing 4 offensive linemen from last year. 4 starting offensive linemen. 50% of that because of what Incognito did.
Right.
So when you have to replace 4 starters along the offensive line and you don't have a great – because Ryan Tannehill's not a great – you're in for some trouble. It's interesting. So much of what we're about to do, not only with this division but every division when we go through them, is sort of not exposed but – talk about, you know, was a team, why a team maybe exceeded or fell short of our preseason expectations in that, okay, yeah, this was their record, but it maybe should have been this. With the Jets, that's very clear, mm-hmm. like we said. Bill Parcells said, he's forgotten a lot more about football than I'll ever know, but one of the two dumbest things he's ever said was, a team is what its record is. The other one said something, started something about, no offense to the Orientals.
I knew you were going there. Yeah. That's awesome.
But I'll say this. Last year, Miami was what its record was. They were just a very average team.
Yeah.
There's nothing I hated about them on the field, and there's nothing that I really liked about them. They were a very plain Jane 8-8 team, a team that was a mirage at the start of the year. They were 3-0, remember? Yeah. But they'd been outgained and kind of outplayed in all those games. They were all close wins. They were never as good as that. And you have to look, from that point on, they were only 5-8, and they gagged bad at the end. They lost to the Jets and Buffalo to end the year. I remember when we were going over that Buffalo game, second to last week of the year, I said to you, I'm like, you know what? I don't have much here for you.
Mm-hmm.
I just could see the Dolphins gagging this one. They were, a short road favorite, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. And they did, and then the Jets thing was really bad. So I'm with you. The potential's there to be sub 500. I certainly don't think they'll match their record.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give exact records here, but a win or two will come off that pile. And same with the Jets, which is why I think the Bills' record will increase. You're right, a little bit by default, because you have two teams that will win less. So Buffalo's by proxy going to stand up.
Yeah, I would think so. And as far as it goes with Miami, yeah, I think they're an 8-8 team on paper. Again, all things being equal, I just think it's going to be a dumpster fire of a season.
In the draft, obviously one of the easiest teams to project what the individual player they draft, we don't know. But they're obviously going to address the offense. The first-round pick is going to be an offensive lineman. I think the kid out of Notre Dame is somebody that they feel might be around when they pick, because they don't have a high pick. So.
He very well could be. That leaves, in my book, wedging in between Buffalo and Miami, the New York Jets. I got them at 7-9. I don't have them for a tremendous regression because, again, that defense is for real. And they really, I think it was particularly more so, if I remember, against the pass than against the run. I may have that backwards, but they were a little vulnerable in the one area. But I think the kind of year Cromartie was having back there, I believe that it was against the pass that they were pretty stout. And ultimately, I do believe that that's going to carry them. I think it's going to be another tough year of adjustments for Geno Smith, not least of which because, again, in fairness to him, does not have the weapons that you would want him to have.
Yeah.
The weapons are depleted. It's one of the worst skill position situations in the league, bar none.
Let me just jump in right there.
Yeah.
Because in the three or whatever years that I've been doing this with you, I've said some dumb things from time to time, and none so more dumb than when I defended Mark Sanchez at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be clear. While Jets fans are going to rejoice and do cartwheels when they inevitably release Sanchez, isn't it interesting how the narrative here has not changed one bit with the Jets? Talented defense, like you said.
Yeah.
But on the other side of the football, you have a limited quarterback with no talent at the skill positions.
Yeah.
Nothing has changed with the Jets. So everyone rejoicing over the Sanchez era being dead and gone, and now Geno Smith's here. It's 6-1, half a dozen to the other, as far as I'm concerned. This team was lucky to get to 500. I'm with you. I don't think they're going to have a huge regression, but there will be some regression.
I expect that there will be some. Yeah, I got them at 7-9. I think that they will be more or less on the heels of where the Bills are. I think that'll be a pretty good rivalry for second.
Looking to the draft, they're a team that's certainly in what looks to be a very strong receiver group. Whoever the best one available is, that's who they're going to go for. Marquise Lee is a name, certainly, that they have heard targeted for them.
He would fit in very well. And that's a situation a couple of years ago where they took Stephen Hill. He is somebody that has not really panned out the way that they would have wanted.
No. And, Sammy Watkins will obviously be gone. Mike Evans from Texas A&M will probably be gone.
Yeah.
Tight end. Again, the way, if you're smart, you can use tight end just as another receiver. Just look to the Saints. Eric Ebron out of North Carolina is another name that you might want to keep an eye on. And while we're talking about tight ends, New England, hey, they're never getting Aaron Hernandez back. They too may look to draft a tight end. Jay Samaro out of Texas Tech is a name that I've heard for them. So
that's true. Yeah, this is a division where you have very, very well-defined needs the teams have, and it makes it kind of easy to forecast that.
Yeah, and still a big gap.
Yeah.
Between New England and the rest. I don't know who's going to be worse, Miami or the Jets, initially. When I started thinking about this, I thought the Jets would be the worst team. But because of what's going on in the wake of the Ted Wells report, I can see Miami actually finishing last here. So I'm with you, but we agree that Buffalo is the best besides New England.
We do agree on that. And but again, and neither team, none of the three teams in there being able to make a real run at them. And it's funny because in doing this the last couple of years, we've been kind of looking at this and saying, it's about due to turn around. It's about due to turn around. We're not saying this here. By the way, and I just confirmed on NFL.com, I was right. It was the Jets a little weaker on the run defense than they were on the pass defense. I wanted to confirm that.
I was wondering what you did. You looked very, very serious about what was ever going on.
I was thinking to myself, I'm like, well, this could be embarrassing if I had it backwards because I was making a definitive statement. But, yeah, they thought you were right.
I thought I was right, too, on that.
But, no, I did manage to confirm that. But we've been saying this the last couple of years, right, because they are due. This is a historic run that the Patriots have been on. But it's a thing of where you can sit here and you can look at it all you like in terms of, well, the records will tell us historically that the Patriots are about to fall off. It doesn't matter if the other three teams in the division don't step up. And New England has been a remarkably self-generating dynasty. They just keep going and going.
New England, well, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning have kind of been the outliers for the way that I view football on a year-to-year basis because I'm heavy with the moving up and down, you know, teams that jump up one year tend to regress the following and vice versa. But Brady and Manning, you know, and you just say New England, I guess, in lieu of Tom Brady, Manning, I say, because his Indianapolis teams and then even Denver last year, they just kind of defy regression and the metrics year in, year out. And a lot of that New England's case is what you're saying, that there's kind of been it's not just one or two games, but it's a sizable gap. I mean, New England's winning 11, 12 games every year.
Mm-hmm.
These other teams, you know, I mean, how many 10-win seasons have those other three teams put forth in the last decade? Not many.
Yeah.
I guarantee you can count them on one hand. Miami had that one good year.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets, even when they made playoff runs with Sanchez, they were kind of, I think they were a 9-win team.
Right.
At least one of those years, so they only had one. And Buffalo, they haven't won 10 games in probably 15 years.
Yeah.
So the gap is just too great still. Now, granted, a lot could change between February and September, but the way I look at things now, yeah, it's still New England's division to lose.
This is what we were saying at this point last year. That's how it held up. I think when we go to do this another year from now, it's exactly going to look the same way. So there is our examination of the AFC East in the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBoard.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classics, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.